CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchel with Joseph Sternberg, who writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. He's based in London. And his most recent column addressed the euro, which is a currency that I've always assumed was very strong. And it was once upon a time. But now it is dancing on either side of parity. That's a way of talking about it. It's worth what the dollar's worth. Is that a consequence of the war, the energy questions, the original design of the euro? Because the European Central Bank's charge is for inflation, I thought, at one time. All of the above? I don't know. So I wandered into Joe's column, and what I get right now is that the European Central Bank, Ms. Lagarde, doesn't know what to do. Is that right, Joe? There's no easy road out of this. And meanwhile, the euro is about a dollar or less.
This has been the big story in the global economy in recent days, has been the euro-dollar exchange rate. And, I mean, we need to say at the beginning that this is of interest to many more people than just currency traders or American tourists visiting Europe for the summer. Late Nobel economist Robert Mundell once said that the euro-dollar exchange rate is the most important exchange rate in the world because the economic relationship between the two sides is so deep and important. And sure enough, I mean, a bunch of factors going on here that are causing this very troubling swing in recent months in that rate. I mean, I think the war has to do with part of it. I think that generally a sense that the Eurozone economy is going to struggle to recover from this as quickly as the U.S. might be. I mean, Europe historically has been less resilient than the U.S. But increasingly, policy has been coming into focus because there are inflation problems on both sides of the Atlantic. The Fed responded to inflation in the U.S. belatedly and so far not strongly enough, but it has still responded more strongly than the European Central Bank has. So I think that one of the factors that we're starting to see is this, the situation where investors can potentially get higher returns in the U.S. now, which is encouraging money to pour into the dollar and driving down the value of the euro.
That would be sensible to me. One of the ways I reason through this is a strong dollar attracts the investor class from outside because you get paid in dollars. But a weakening euro, that also favors some because doesn't it make the manufactured products more attractive to American buyers and Asian buyers? Do I reason correctly?
Well, this has been one of the problems that they're having because that was always the conventional wisdom, and especially in Germany, which is the Eurozone's largest economy and also a major global exporter. There was always this conventional wisdom that a weaker euro was going to benefit exports. What they're finding so far is that that doesn't appear to be working out in quite the same way. Now, I mean, certainly German companies in particular are booking very high profits right now, but that's mainly because a lot of these companies, especially automakers, manufacture things in the U.S. So the costs are in dollars, and then also the sales are recorded in dollars. But then when you transfer that over to euros, it shows up as more euros in the accounts because of the exchange rate. But there's not a lot of evidence that the volume of exports out of Europe is changing all that much. And meanwhile, they're starting to get hit by rising import prices, especially for energy, because you have to pay more euros for your oil or natural gas or coal or steel or any of the other components that you might import for other places. And so that's why Germany actually tipped into its first monthly trade deficit in several decades a month or two ago, which is a sign that like this traditional relationship between the exchange rate and export seems to be breaking down.
The European Union right now is challenged from what is politely called an exogenous event. That would be Gazprom. Will it or will it not turn the Nord Stream 2 taps, that means natural gas, energy for the economy that we've just talked about being troubled? That weighs on everyone, Joe. Is there a plan B? I can't find one in the London papers. Is there one in the German papers?
Not really. And in fact, actually, we are discovering that this is, sort of the shutdown and the flow of gas through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline that we've had over the past week is already starting to interfere with what had been their plan A for dealing with the slowdown in Russian gas imports. I mean, basically, Europe had thought that the natural gas crisis was going to happen over the winter, which is the time when they are consuming the most gas, especially for heating. But what they are finding instead is that you've got a crisis developing now because Gazprom has shut off the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, allegedly for maintenance. But now officials are wondering whether it's going to be turned on again on schedule at the end of this week. A consequence of this has been that already last week, Germany had intended to prepare for the gas emergency of the coming winter by filling up their gas storage during the summer. The problem is that they were filling that storage with gas from Russia. So now that the Russians have inconveniently cut off the supply early this summer, Germany last week for at least one day had to dip into its gas storage reserve a little bit at a time when they had expected to only be putting more into storage. So I think that this is a potential major emergency, not just because we're looking at the prospect of the Russian gas shutoff, but because it would be happening at a time when Europe did not think it would.
The economy of Germany, I know, understand, is profoundly connected to the economy of the European Union. Is it also reflected in the British economy? For example, do your electricity rates connect to this doubt about natural gas in Germany and to the electricity rates that are now rising because of the reliance on renewables? They're even talking about rationing in Germany. Do you have that talk in London?
Well, I mean, part of the problem is that because of the interconnectedness of all of these economies, you end up with these double and triple whammies that originate with the gas issue. So the UK is not necessarily directly affected by some of the trends that are unfolding in Germany and Central and Eastern Europe right now with these interrupted supplies through Nord Stream 1, except that the UK does have to, buy its own gas in the global market. So Britain, like so many other economies around the world, is affected by the global swings in natural gas prices that this kind of Russian shutoff engenders. And so that's one whammy. And then the double whammy is that if this gas shutoff triggers an economic slowdown in Germany or elsewhere in the Eurozone, and it very well may, any economies that have closely entwined trading and investment relationships with those European countries also are going to feel the effects, and that will include the UK. So I think that one thing that we have to worry about is a very real danger that some countries like Germany that are particularly exposed to the threat of a Russian gas shutoff can end up causing a lot of knock-on problems in other places, even if those other places have energy policies that were somewhat more responsible and less vulnerable directly to Russian gamesmanship.
Joseph Sternberg, writing political economics column. He is based in London. He writes for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. We're going to turn to the global economy story from the point of view of the Federal Reserve in Washington, which meets in these next days to decide what next to contain what can be described as runaway inflation or the eve of a deep recession.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.